Last week, Sean was away. He was working in a mission trip in McAllen, Texas. But last Sunday, Liz was here with us. Some of you got to see Liz and her children, she and Sean's children. And they went to eat lunch with us. And Liz was telling me about some research that she had been reading with telomeres. Let me share with you what telomeres are, and I'm not going to try to do it myself because I couldn't possibly do it. So I'm just going to read something briefly to you. Telomeres are caps of DNA, the ends of chromosomes that protect your cells from aging. These caps naturally wear down over time until they get so short they can no longer protect the cell. Short telomeres are linked to chronic and degenerative diseases like cancer, Alzheimer's, and early death. Scientists view telomere length as a reliable marker of your biological age as opposed to your age by years. That's not entirely true. Not all scientists do. Telomeres naturally shorten over time, but you can protect and lengthen your telomeres with meditation, exercise, and a diet full of healthy fats and vegetables. The telomeres are the new cholesterol of 30 or so years ago. People are really saying if you measure telomeres, you can tell by the length. And, of course, it stopped being just an evaluation, and some folks said, well, maybe you could actually lengthen them. And so the research jumped out there, and there are various ways that you can apparently actually lengthen those caps. They're kind of like the little caps on shoestrings. Things you can eat. Things you can do, but the study that Liz was sharing with me is that they found that in special programs that included love, hope, and forgiveness, that those little caps actually were lengthened. And the amazing part of that to me is the way we're built and the way we're designed so incredibly. There was a period of time in science 40 or so years ago, maybe a little less than that even, when there was this real great emphasis on separating mind and body. You know, there's your mind and there's your body. And these two just separate in kind of a different world. And of course, as they tried to make that true, it became less true. The body and the mind and our spiritual side, all of those things are so deeply entangled that we can't possibly do any kind of an effective separation. It reminded me of the passage in Psalms 139, verse 14. And this is a passage that someone had suggested to me as something to talk about, and I had planned to use this passage as a text today. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Human beings are fearfully and wonderfully made. All across God's world, there are things that fall into that category, but especially for us. And this morning, briefly, I'd like for us just to look at four quick things that kind of give us a better understanding and remind us of really how much God has invested in our creation and in our development. The first thing that jumps out at anybody, I think, is the intelligent design that's here. There's a design that's a part of this process. We can see God's hand in so many circumstances and in so many situations. This passage from Psalms 139 really is in a unique section, and I'm not going to take time to read that section, but if you were to go there and look at verses 13 through 16, you see this awesome picture of God and how he's known us since before we were born, literally as that passage says. Psalms 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." Probably all of us could sit for a while and tell stories about the reality of that passage. Terry and I were in Yucatan one time, and we ran into two couples from Houston that we had known when we lived in Houston. And so we spent a little bit of time together during the next few days. And the two other couples were coming home on Sunday morning. And so they wanted to meet together and have a devotional time before they had to leave to go to the airport. And we did that on a beach facing east. We got there before sunrise and were able to sing and pray. And then we had communion as the sun came up. And if you can do that and not see the glory of God and the handiwork of God, you really are not looking. because it's so awesome and it's so powerful. So much there. My favorite passage of this regard is in Job chapter 12, starting in verse 7. But ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds of the sky, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? All around us, we see the way our bodies are made, the way the world is made, the finite balance, the very small variability that exists in so many systems, especially systems within the human body, that just point over and over again to this master hand of creation. The second thing that we can see is that we're made in God's image. Scripture tells us that we are. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And sometimes people ask the question, well, how are we made in God's image? Do we look like God? Would we talk like God? And I think really it's about the character traits that we have inside of us, the values that are there, and really those things that are just so intrinsic. We look at the animals in the world and we call what they do instinctual, those things that God put inside of them. But we're far above they are. But we're far above them. We've been placed in a place where we're just a little bit lower than the angels. And we have God's image inside of us. Sometimes when you're around people, you can see the really yucky stuff that's a part of their life. Maybe they're a little bit stressed or worried or a little bit over the top. And the things that are coming out of them are anger and frustration. And it's hard to look at that person and say, you're made in God's image, because what they're venting or sharing at that moment in time is really stuff that comes from Satan. But there are those wonderful, beautiful moments when people dig down deep into their core, and I'm not talking about Christians here, I'm just talking people, primarily secular people, they dig down deep into their core and they actually want to do something godlike. And if you've ever been in a spot, I know that many of us have, where we needed help in some way. And oftentimes, maybe people that we didn't expect to help us actually did. And the flattering part of that for the people is that it feels good. And it feels right. Why does it feel good? Because we're made in God's image. God is a part of us, and we're connected to God in that moment and in that situation. A third thing is that we're reminded that we're eternal beings. We're not here for this brief period of time. We're not here just for this earth. And when somebody leaves your family, that certainly is a blessing. The Old Testament said that the patriarchs were gathered to their people, and I love that description. We have everlasting life. I've shared with you before, about 25 years ago, over a period of probably 2 to 3 years, I did 2 funeral services for a family. They were not from the church. They had, in 2 separate illnesses, they lost 2 preschoolers. And I talked to them about faith, and I talked to them about spiritual things, and they said, oh, no, we're not interested in that. And I continue to see her at Walmart and places around town. And now, 25 years later or so, the light is totally gone out of her life. She just is empty and hollow in so many ways, and your heart just breaks for her. Those children were eternal beings. And she could live and she could feel a joy. And I know she would have incredible sadness. I'm not saying that she wouldn't. But she takes from herself the thing that would be so encouraging and so helpful to us. You know, when you look into Scripture and we talk about everlasting life, we're typically talking about the reward of heaven. And so I'd like to use a passage that indicates both sides of that. Excuse me. For Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Doesn't matter whether you are with God or with Satan in your eternity, you're going to have an eternal life. You are an eternal being. And what we do today very obviously determines where we ultimately spend that time. The last one is, it reminds us of the stewardship of the body. Our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God enhouses our spirit, our earthly spirit, or rather our eternal spirit within this earthly body. And we have some responsibilities to make sure that we use that body to its absolute best potential. I was watching a program on chirogenics not too long ago. And there was a lady who had dedicated herself to building up her body. And they were talking to her and interviewing her. And she was going to be frozen when she died. She said, "I have worked too hard on this body to have it decay." And I just couldn't help but think, that's such a frustrating perspective. Whatever you do, you can't beat that. That's going to happen one way or another. The reality is our bodies are going to go away. But while we have them, we have the responsibility to use them. We have a responsibility to care for them, but we also have the responsibility to use them in positive ways. And these wonderful qualities that God has given us, these wonderful abilities that we have through our human bodies, are available for us to use over and over again, day in and day out. We constantly need to be challenging ourselves in that regard. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought with the price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." We're blessed to have these creations of God, these bodies that we share, this experience that is indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. I noticed even in the process of transitioning from this life to the heavenly kingdom, there are things that happen in a certain order, and there are things that trigger the next stage. And even in that moment, that's playing out that wonderfully made plan that God has for us. All of us have those days when things aren't going well. Maybe we're hurting in our heart. Some hurt in their bodies. Some deal with chronic pain. Those are difficult things to deal with. We have people here who do that. And I'm always so amazed at the people who are affected, sometimes the most seriously, who are willing to stand up and celebrate. Celebrate what God has given. Celebrate what God has provided. Celebrate the blessings of God. Because we have that opportunity each and every day of our lives. There are things that we can still do. There are certainly things that we can enjoy. If you read all of that psalm, the last two verses are kind of interesting. David says to God, starting in verse 23 and going into verse 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Can you imagine having the confidence to say to God, "Give me a test. Give me an assessment. Look deeply inside of me and see if I'm the person that you want me to be." This morning, we can invite God to do that. We can invite ourselves to do that. And if our answers aren't exactly what we wanted, then we have opportunities to shape our lives through God's help so that we really can be the people He intended. This morning, if we can help you in any way with spiritual issues in your life, we'd be glad to do that. There may be private things that you need to maybe talk with somebody about or something you need to pray about. And certainly would encourage you to do that as well. But if there's something public, we'd be glad to help you in a public way while we stand and sing together.